When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets, in the car while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The BMW i4 M50. It's 100% electric and 100% BMW. Experience the power of over 500 horses stampeding at a whisper as BMW M-engineered handling takes you through every twist and turn. The complete suite of intuitive technology keeps you connected. The pure performance keeps your heart racing. The BMW i4 M50. Silence has never said so much. BMW, the ultimate electric driving machine.
Hi guys, and welcome to a new episode of Couch Talks on You Need Therapy Podcast. My name is Kat. I am the host, and if you are not familiar with what Couch Talks is, it is the special bonus episode where I, Kat, answer questions that you guys send to me, and you can send those to Catherine@youneedtherapypodcast.com. Now, quick reminder before we get into today's episode that although this podcast is called You Need Therapy and I am a therapist, this still does not serve as a replacement or a substitute for any actual mental health services. However, we always hope that it can help you in some way. We usually do one question a week and we always keep them anonymous. This listener actually asked hers specifically to be anonymous, so of course we're going to do that. So you can feel safe sending in your questions, and if there's ever any information in the email that you don't want shared, just let me know and I won't share that. So today's going to be a normal episode. We're going to do one question. It's one that I think a lot of us can relate to, even if we don't have this exact scenario going on. The theme of it might resonate with some of y'all. So let's just get into it. Hey Kat, this is long, but I have a situation and I'd love some input. I'm in my early 30s and got married last summer. My mom has always been a single mom. My dad was really not in the picture. I knew me getting married would be challenging for my mom because we are very close, but I am having a hard time navigating this new season of my life. I want to support my mom and love and care for her, but I also feel like she needs to have her own life as well. This has all come to a head this summer, and I assume she's talking about this the future summer. My husband and I have a hectic schedule, and we will be moving out of state at some point. My mom, who doesn't live in the same state as us, and we are not moving to the state she is in, has been kind of passive-aggressively talking about not taking any time off this summer. When I asked her about it recently, she said, "Why would I take time off just to sit around alone?" So I mentioned maybe taking a trip to see family or a friend, and she shut down those ideas pretty quickly. Most of the time, I will see her for a long weekend or a week each summer, but that's not possible this summer with the move. I offered up the idea of her coming to see us for the weekend before we move, but she didn't seem excited about that either. She has also recently complained that she doesn't have any friends to do things with. When I suggest maybe trying to go do a Bible study or connecting with old friends, she shuts it down, saying she doesn't have time. I value her, and we even did a week-long trip together, just us, for the holidays last year. I am not sure the last time my mom took a trip without me. I know she relies on me a lot. She calls me most days of the week, which I'm totally fine with. I'm just struggling on what is the healthiest for both of us. She recently mentioned moving to where we are moving so she can watch our kids, except we don't have kids and I'm not pregnant, nor is that something I brought up or asked her to do. And as much as I love that idea for future and having family close, it also makes me nervous that she would only have me again and not initiate making new friends in a new city. I love her and I want her to be happy, and I would love for her to have things of her own going on and not just focus solely on me. I am just feeling torn on how to navigate it all. Also, shout out to my husband who loves my mom and is happy to have her anytime. Thank you. So this sounds really tough. It's not black and white. I wish there were some rules that you could simply follow to make this kind of go away. There's not one right way to handle this type of stuff. You have to take into account what feels comfortable to you, what you're willing to risk, what kind of discomfort you're willing to sit in, and what is problematic for you and what is not. I kind of get this idea that there is some parentification with you that has maybe involved maybe you becoming the surrogate spouse for your mom. And what I mean by that is a lot of times when, I mean, even when parents or caregivers do have a partner, if that partner does not meet the parent's emotional needs or what have you, oftentimes one of the children gets put in that position. And that can just be an emotional support, that can be actually doing things around the house, but you become reliant, or you become that person's reliance. And that's not always problematic to people. And it also is problematic to a lot of people because they get in situations like you're in where you are trying to, you know, go out on your own and create a family of your own, yet you are still responsible or feeling responsible at times for your mom's own emotional needs. And children are not responsible for their parents' emotional needs. Even adult children. It's tough. And part of me feels like you just wrote this email to get this off your chest and kind of out of your body, because you didn't really ask a question. You just asked for input. So I'm just going to be talking at you, which actually honestly is one of my favorite ways to answer these emails, because I oftentimes can't give you very specific answers on your questions. And this way I just get to talk about things that I hear, knowing that I could be off base because I don't have that many details. Like I said, I don't know that there is a right way to navigate this. I don't think there is a way to navigate this that would not initiate new discomfort coming into either your experience or your mom's experience, maybe even your husband's. Also, shout out, congrats on the new marriage. But it made me think of one thing that really gets under my skin. And I'm sharing this as somebody that I experience this at times, this scenario. And it's when people don't ask for their needs, they present their problems and almost like twist the discomfort knife until the person they're talking to offers solutions. It's this like sneaky form of manipulation where you end up being the one to offer something that you don't actually want to do. And you leave that space being like, wait, how did I get roped into this? They didn't ask and I don't want to do this. But it's something that we do because we feel so uncomfortable. And it feels like we have to in that moment when in reality we don't. And an example of that, if that sounds confusing, a way that that can show up is, let's say, I mean, kind of going off of what you said with your mom and being alone, it can be somebody saying, a parent saying to a child, well, it sounds like you and your family will be having a really nice weekend on Easter. I suppose that I might heat up a frozen meal and, you know, I can see if there's anything interesting on TV, but, you know, I haven't been able to find something lately. It's really lonely not having anybody to spend the holidays with, which this is me speaking, AKA this person is waiting to be invited to something. And it's not the fact that they want to be invited, right? So another way to just ask to be invited is, wow, what you're doing on Easter sounds like so much fun. I would love to be able to come to that if there's space. And if you want that to be a special experience between just your family, what would you think about getting together next weekend or finding a weekend to celebrate the holiday with me? Because I think I'm going to be feeling a little lonely this weekend. That is so different. The first one is this like victim-y, like, oh, helpless. And if you're a rescuer, if that is a role you play, and a lot of the people listening to this episode are probably like, oh yeah, I play that role. We experience the victim. We hear them. We see them. We know the solution and we jump in sometimes because we like it, sometimes because it feels like we have to. And we continue to lean into the trap that they are setting up, and we give them continued motivation to continue to get their needs met that way, to do that again and again and again. And when this happens, we can become so focused on how frustrating their behavior is and what they're doing wrong and how annoying they are and how helpless they are, rather than how we're getting ourselves stuck in that cycle and focusing on how we can learn to better respond to either our frustrations or our knee-jerk reaction to fix or jump in rather than to say, oh, that's a bummer. I'm sorry you're feeling that way. Again, this is something that we usually are not doing because we want to hurt our own feelings. It's something that we're doing because of the way that we have learned to show up in the world, with the way that we have learned that we are supposed to act, that we're supposed to act in order to get our needs met. And so we have to kind of go against the grain of what we've been taught throughout our lives to undo some of this stuff. And maybe there's a lesson that you learned growing up, and maybe that lesson is, I can't put myself first. I must put others before me. Or it's my job to take care of those around me. Or if someone's sad, I should fix it. My needs don't matter. Others don't have the ability to take care of themselves. That person won't be okay without me. The list goes on. And that's just like one side of what some of those lessons can be that we're acting out of. I could go on and on with different versions of that. But the point is, we're taught in some way to abandon ourselves and our needs in order to take care of people who actually also have the ability to take care of themselves. And the question I have here for you is, how can you learn to manage the discomfort that you have when other people are uncomfortable? How can I learn to manage the discomfort that I'm experiencing versus how do I manage other people's stuff? Maybe discomfort is part of that. And it sounds like you might be one of those rescuer types that I'm talking about. Again, don't worry. This is one of those you spot it, you got it things. I am right there with you. I love jumping in on the drama triangle as the rescuer, or have loved it in my past. And it honestly, I think it gave me a sense of power. It gave me a sense of I'm good. It gave me a role. It gave me some self-esteem until it was actually hurting me more than helping me. Being a rescuer and being that person that people look to can feel really awesome at times until it doesn't. And then it can feel really heavy, and we can lose sight of ourselves by having that like one track mind of there's somebody who's helpless. Let me fix them. And when I describe this, sometimes it sounds like I'm like bashing like the victim and the helpless person, and the rescuer is like a more desired person to want to be. Or role to play. The reality is both of those roles are dysfunctional and unhealthy. And no matter what, no matter how we start, if we are getting on the drama triangle, and if you don't know what the drama triangle is, it is a pattern of dysfunctional behavior in relationships. I've done a whole episode on it. So if you want to learn more about it, I highly suggest you type in, you need therapy, drama triangle, and listen to that episode. It's one of the most helpful things that I've learned from myself in my own life, and also learned to help others with as a therapist. But back to what I was saying, when I jump onto the drama triangle, even as a rescuer, no matter what, if I stay there, I'm going to end up being a victim of some sort. No matter where you hop on this triangle, wherever you hop on this pattern, all roads lead to victim. And we are all going to feel helpless in some way. And I even hear you with that tinge of helplessness with being able to help your mom, right? And part of that is because you can't control her. You can't fix her. You can't solve her problems. You can support her. But support and rescuing are very different things. I think that we are taught this altruistic rescuer type of support that actually is dysfunctional. When support is a very different thing. It's being there to walk alongside somebody, but not to do it for them. It's, hey, I can scaffold, I can help you take baby steps, but I'm not going to take the steps for you. And I know that I especially end up in the victim role. I mean, I'm going to do it no matter what, but it stings extra hard and is extra confusing when the person that I am jumping on to rescue doesn't really want to be rescued, even if they're presenting that way. Because for the person that's in that victim spot, or the person that you are wanting to save, if they get saved, if they get rescued, if you solve their problems, what happens? There is a world where people want to stay in the problem, because if I stay in the problem, that means I still have a reason for people to come and be around me. It's a dysfunctional way of maintaining connection that actually in the long term is going to push people away from you. So I'm trying to rescue somebody, but somebody doesn't want to be rescued. Yeah, I'm going to get really, really frustrated. And like I said, if you want to learn more about the drama triangle, go listen to that episode. It's one of my favorite things to teach and talk about. But here I want you to focus on, how can I learn to create space for people to help themselves and also decide if they even want to do that? because I don't get to decide if somebody wants to solve a problem that they're presenting with. I might want to solve it. And if I were them, I might want to solve it, but they might not want to solve it. So if we continue to offer solutions to the problems that maybe someone doesn't want a solution to, it doesn't necessarily make you better than setting a boundary. It might make you feel more comfortable because it feels like you're doing something, or it feels like you're doing the right thing based on what you were taught about your role in the world or how to maintain connection. So it might feel like you're doing something better, but it doesn't necessarily mean you are doing something better morally or whatever. So trying to soothe somebody's discomfort oftentimes can take away space for that person to do something different and for you to then experience something different. It creates that enabling effect, you know? What might be more helpful is to clarify what it is that your mom's looking for when she says some of these things to you. Judging by her responses to your solutions, she might be trying to stay in the problem, like I said, because the problem might be offering her something. So instead of just throwing out all these ideas and solving the problems and doing that thing where, like, you know, okay, you can come live with me. And then you're like, wait, what? She didn't ask for that. Why did I do that? You can say something like, hey, mom, it sounds like you are having a hard time. Is there something specific that you're needing from me? How can I support you? I want to support you in this. Or, hey, mom, I really love to support you. It sounds like you're having a tough time. I don't know what would be best to do right now. And it seems like a lot of the suggestions I'm offering aren't suggestions that would work for you. So can you help me identify what it is that you need from me right now? Can you let me know what it is that you need from me right now? And that might just be me listening to some things that are tough. So really, really digging into, is she asking you for help or is she wanting help at all? Did she say I need help or does it feel like that? And then your work will be, how do I soothe the distress I feel versus how do I focus on taking away my mom's and actually empower her to soothe her own distress? And I get it. That's really tough. I even struggle with this as a therapist. You know, if I see a client and I'm like, oh, I want to tell you all the things that I want to tell you, but it wouldn't necessarily be very helpful for me to just be like, do this, 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 and this, and then you'll be better. They're going to come back to me for the rest of their lives and never learn what it is that they need to do to help themselves. And then I'm creating this cycle of like, oh my gosh, haven't we been through this before? So I hope that's helpful. And I hope it just helps to just get some of that out and talk about the frustrations you're feeling or the feelings that you are feeling. And I hope that if you do have a therapist, this is something you are able to bring up with your therapist to work on yourself. I have a lot of empathy for you because it's not an easy situation and position that you are in. That is going to do it for today's episode. Like I said, you guys can send me in questions, feedback, concerns, anything to Catherine at You Need Therapy Podcast. You can just send me an email about a topic that you want to hear about or anything. It doesn't always have to be a question for Couch Talks. I would love it if you guys would review and rate the podcast if you are listening on a platform that allows that, maybe Spotify or Apple Podcast. I love when you guys do that because it helps me get this podcast out to more people. Also, shout out to unitherapypodcast.com. We still have some merch available, and I've had a lot of fun creating that and sending that out to you guys. Know that if you do order something, it might take me longer than a normal business to get that out because I am doing all of that myself, and there's a learning curve, and I am not always the speediest in that. So allow 7 to 10 days for me to ship that out to you. You should get emails when those ship out though with a tracking code and all of that. So just offer me some grace as I'm moving through this new venture. But yeah, check that stuff out. Until Monday's episode, I hope you guys have the day you need to have, and I will be back with you guys soon.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my! Look at that! He is! And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win! Unbelievable!
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. visit RightRug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand. It's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products. It's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.